Torah in the beginning of Parshat Tava is unique in a variety of ways. Most famously, Parshat Tava deals with the Big Day Kahuna, and there's no reference at all, or there's no explicit mentioning of the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Many of the Farshim ask why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, but undoubtedly, and we'll speak about one idea in a little bit, undoubtedly one of the major themes of this week's Parsha is a focus on Aaron HaKohen. Moshe's missing, and it's about Aaron HaKohen and his Big Day Kahuna. There's an interesting question, some even call it intriguing, I guess. There's an interesting question in terms of why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not become the Kohen Gadol. Why is it that Aaron was zochah to be the Kohen Gadol and not Moshe Rabbeinu? Alright, I would have thought that they're both, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the person who is even more worthy and more deserving of being the person who is the Kohen Gadol. So what exactly is going on? Why is it not Moshe Rabbeinu? So there are a couple of different mahalchim. The first mahalch Rashi writes in his Perush Al Torah and Sefer Shmos, Perek Dalet. This is really two days in the Gemara Maseches Vachim. We'll mention in a little bit that the Ribono Sholom was upset at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe initially was offered to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Moshe pushed off a little bit. Moshe said, "Shlachna biyad shlach," maybe send Aaron. And at some point, says the Gemara, at least one day in the Gemara, the Ribono Sholom said, "If you don't want it, so there'll be fallout from you not wanting it. And the fallout's going to be that you're not going to be zochah. You're not going to be zochah to be the Kohen Gadol. You're not going to, you and your descendants will not be zochah to have kahuna." Salvechik had an interesting comment. This is found in the Rav Chumash. The Rav pointed out the following: Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh? So the Gra says because Parshat Tetzaveh always coincides with Zion Adar. Zion Adar is a time when Moshe was nifter, and therefore Moshe went missing in Zion Adar, and that's also why he's missing in a certain sense in Parshas Tetzaveh. Salvechik suggested that maybe in light of this Rashi, we can more appreciate what the relationship is between why Moshe's Yartzeit falls out in Parshat Tetzaveh time. What exactly is the link between Moshe missing from Parshat Tetzaveh and Moshe being nifter? The Rav suggests the following: had Moshe been chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, had that mistake not been made, so then the Beis Hamikdash never would have been destroyed. Had Moshe been the Kohen Gadol, the power of Moshe Rabbeinu is one that never could have been Necharav, and it would have been around forever. In a certain sense, therefore, argued Salvechik, Parshas Tetzaveh, the choice to choose Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, in many ways coincides with or marked the beginning of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu's lack of permanence in this world was established here in Parshat Tetzaveh, and that's also the time when he was really niftar. Both things, in a certain sense, are very much linked. So what we've seen thus far, just to be very, very clear, Rashi tells us that the reason why Moshe was not chosen and Aaron was because Moshe was initially, in Parshat Shmos, hesitant. Aaron was not hesitant, and therefore Aaron was able. Aaron became the Kohen Gadol. Said Rav Salvechik, this is the fallout of this was tremendous. The fallout was that Moshe is not going to be able to be the Kohen Gadol. Mikdash will not be that permanent, which means that Moshe, on some level, his impact will not be here forever. That's what happens in Parshat Tetzaveh, the choice of Aaron. It's also why that's the relationship between Zion Adar and Moshe being Nifter this time of year. It's about the minimizing the long-term impact and eventually the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Nosson Tzvi, in his Sichos, quotes a lot from Chaim Shmulevitz here in Sichos Musar with the following very, very powerful insight addition based on this Rashi. It happens to be, he argues, Chaim Shmulevitz argued at length, that even though on some level Moshe Rabbeinu lost out on being the Kohen Gadol, he and Aaron were so connected that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to rejoice ki ilu he was the one who was doing the Avodah, even though technically Aaron was the one that was doing it. Meaning it's not that it was a punishment and Moshe felt totally removed, but even though it was taken away from Moshe, Moshe felt a closeness to Aaron HaKohen that he felt as if he was really the one who was actually performing the Avodah also. He points out a couple indications of this. One of them is a very interesting question. The Torah tells in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, or Rashi points out, that Aaron HaKohen felt bad. In Parshas Naso, the Nasiim bring lots of different karbanos. When we're initiating the Beis HaMikdash, all the different Shvatim have their leaders offer lots of karbanos. And Aaron feels bad, Rashi tells us, that Aaron is not able to offer those karbanos. And the Torah tells us that Aaron is comforted, or Rashi explains, Aaron's comforted by having the commandment to light the menorah. asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, how come only Aaron felt bad that the Nesi'im were not, that he wasn't able to offer karbanos and the Nesi'im were? What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu also feel bad that he wasn't able to offer anything? Said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Aaron and Moshe in many ways were really one. And once Aaron was lighting the menorah, Moshe felt good also. Moshe also felt like he was entirely covered. There's something to say, the way Reb Chaim Shmulevitz describes it, for the unique relationship between Moshe and Aaron. What we've seen thus far, we'll have one additional connection on this in a second. We've seen thus far, why was Aaron chosen and not Moshe? Because Moshe made a mistake one day in the Gemara in Zvachim, Rashi al Torah. Moshe said, don't send me, send Aaron. We asked the question, or what exactly emerges from that, for Soloveitchik, that's part of the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's death in a certain sense. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's lack of permanence in this world, because had he been the one to work in the Mason Migdash, that power, it would have lasted forever. From Nassan Tzvi, even though it's a punishment in a certain sense, Moshe didn't necessarily experience it that way. Moshe experienced it as if he was still very much involved because of the powerful relationship between Moshe and Aaron. Even when someone's chosen ahead of you, if you're connected enough, if you love them enough, if you're humble enough, you can really appreciate things in a very powerful way. That relates four times with Levis, the way beginning of this week's Parsha, when the Torah seems to refer to Moshe Rabbeinu on some level as being in charge of some of the elements of Big Day Kahuna, because in many ways Moshe and Aaron are very much connected. In many ways they're really one. The Sfas Emes has a different explanation as to why Aaron was chosen and not Moshe. Suggest the Sfas Emes, it's an interesting idea, and in many ways the opposite of what we would have thought. But we know the Gemara tells in Maseches Yuma, Chazal tells in the Medrash, there are three different crowns. There's a Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus, and Keser Torah. Argues the Sfas Emes, the Keser Kahuna and the Keser of Torah, that crown of Kahuna and that crown of Torah are actually very, very different, and they require different kinds of avodas. The Kohen, the Torah tells us in a bunch of places, is supposed to be Nivdal. The Kohen has to be somewhat removed from the people. He again, wears different clothing. He has a lot of unique and different halachas. The Keser Kahuna, that requires a person to be distant and to be removed. Aaron HaKohen was that person. Moshe Rabbeinu was one that brought Torah to Klal Yisrael. The Sar HaTorah, the person that brings Torah to Klal Yisrael, can't be distant. When you bring Torah to Klal Yisrael, you have to be very much connected to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had to be one with the people in a certain sense. And because of that, says Sfas Emes, Moshe couldn't be the Kohen. Because to be the Kohen requires a degree of separation that the person who brings the Torah to Klal Yisrael can't really have. You have to be much more connected. You have to be there in a much more powerful way. That is somewhat counterintuitive. Often we think of Moshe as being much more removed from the... I can't do it. Much surprising. Often we think of Moshe as being much more removed from the people, as opposed to Aaron, who's the Oev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. Aaron, who's the person who is much more involved and engaged with the people. But that's what the Sfas Emes, happens to argue. In that sense, what the Sfas Emes highlights is an important idea that it's not that Moshe lost out, but there are really two tracks. We needed a Kohen, and we needed Moshe Rabbeinu to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael. And they were able to complement each other in a very important way. It wasn't a punishment. It was because the leadership of Klal Yisrael required different kinds of leaders. And Moshe Zacharias and Aaron Zacharias were going to be a little bit different. One to be distant and one to be with the people. Rav Ram Shor and Lekach Balibov and Tafshin Samech Aleph here in Parshat Tzaveh has an additional similar kind of an idea, maybe in a different direction, based on the comment of the Zohar. Rav Ram Shor and Lekach Balibov, the pshat really as follows, based on the Zohar. Moshe and Aaron had different avodas. Moshe's avoda was to bring the Torah from Shamayim down, up, down. Aaron's avoda, being the Oev Shalom, V'Rodev Shalom, Oev Esavrios, Mekarvin LaTorah, was to take the Jewish people and to bring them up. That in many ways, Kabbalah Satorah and real religiosity requires bringing a Torah that's all the way up there to man that's all the way down here. And Moshe and Aaron worked together, each one with a different avoda. Part of Aaron's avoda as a Kohen was to take the Jewish people that are all the way down and to bring them up and to elevate them, to make them closer and more ro'oi to receive the Torah. And part of the avoda of Moshe Rabbeinu was to take the Torah that was all the way up in Shemayim to go up there and begin to bring it down. In a certain sense then, it's not like what we saw in Rashi, where we saw that maybe there's a punishment and the fallout of that punishment, or for Chaim Shmulevitz, the lack of even experiencing that punishment in a certain sense. But you see for the Sfas Emes and for Rav Ram Shor, is that maybe it's more that Moshe and Aaron had different roles, and Klal Yisrael requires different kinds of leaders. Some leaders that are more removed, some leaders that are more involved, some leaders that are about bringing deep ideas all the way from on top and bringing them down to us, and some leaders that are investing in making us more able and more capable to really be able to receive Torah. A lot of important idea here, and certainly a lot about the humility and a lot about the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen becomes the Kohen. He's the person who is somewhat removed and also, with Rav Mishor, able to help bring us up. Hopefully some important ideas. Have a wonderful rest of your day.